Amen. Well, let's move on to our next passage, which is Hebrews chapter 10, 11 through 25. It's the RCL passage for November the 14th. Ted, please read it for us.
Verse 11, and every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since then, has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sins. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Hmm. It seems to me a recurring theme in Hebrews is Jesus is better. I know that sounds really basic, but he is the better and the everlasting high priest. And you've already spoken to this to some degree, but let's drill down a little bit deeper. Why is this proclamation such good news, not just for then, but for now?
Well, for them, it was good news, but it was actually kind of an admonition and even a warning, because there were Jewish Christians when this letter was written and it was apparently sent to them, perhaps even a sermon given to them, to Jewish Christians who, because of persecution from Jewish neighbors as well as from the Romans, were being tempted to return back to Judaism, kind of as a place of safety, if you will. The Jewish religion was a legal religion under the Romans, and they could easily avoid some of the persecution they were receiving by returning there. And so the author of Hebrews is pointing out that the high priest that you would be giving your allegiance to and that you would be focusing on under the Jewish religion is vastly inferior to the one great high priest, the everlasting high priest. Your Jewish high priest has a limited span of authority and certainly limited ability, but Jesus is everlasting, all-powerful. He is God with us, not just a son of Aaron, and he is God for us today and tomorrow and forever. That's how much better Jesus is. Do not forsake him.
This passage tells us the Holy Spirit testifies to us about God's covenant love, not contractual, covenant love and commitment.
Yes.
But it seems to me one of the great sins of humanity is we have wrongly turned God's covenant love into a contract with conditions. How has that done damage to our souls and to the Church of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, that's a big and important topic, and understanding God's covenant is vital here. And I think it's helpful to realize, to recognize that God's covenant is not a piece of paper. It's not a contract. It is a person, the God-man Jesus. He, in his own person, is the fulfillment of the relationship of God and humanity. He is the one who restores humanity to the condition in which we were created, that is, in union with God. And that is what Jesus did. That is who Jesus is. the covenant, you see, is about atonement. That is humanity being made perfectly at one with God. All barriers removed, all animosity resolved. Union, call it, communion, call it. Fundamentally, it's about relationship. And that is who Jesus is. Or as T.F. Torrance is fond of saying, and has this in his writings fairly frequently, the incarnation of God is atonement. That is the fulfilling of the covenant, God uniting humanity to himself via the incarnation. And so we don't have a mere contract with God. We have Jesus, who by the Spirit gives us an enduring relationship with God. The Apostle Paul likens that relationship to marriage. And I hope most people experience marriage as something more than the piece of paper that says they're married. It's the covenant of marriage is a living relationship. And to think of our relationship with God in Christ by the Spirit as some sort of mere legal arrangement is to misunderstand it, to cheapen it, to even deny it. God has chosen us to be one with himself in and through Jesus before the foundation of the world, before we were born. As other passages says, when we were his enemies, it was his action alone that accomplished this union, this covenant of love. And now we are invited to live into that relationship, to embrace it, to be embraced by it, to enjoy it. Or as the author of Hebrews says, to hold fast to it, to not turn away from it.
Well, let's talk about that, Ted. That's a beautiful segue into my next question. How do we hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering? That seems like a tall order to me. What say you?
Well, some preachers would just say, just try harder. Just try.
Right.
Right. You know, bear down, work harder, fast more, pray more. I'm not meaning to make fun of the spiritual disciplines by any means, but the emphasis in the book of Hebrews, and this is certainly true in Paul's writings and throughout the New Testament, and even hinted at, as if you will, in the Hebrew scriptures, it's about relying on Jesus, on his faith, his faithfulness, because Jesus, the God-man, is perfectly faithful in his humanity and as God. And so we rely not on ourselves, not on our own faith, but on his faith, on his faithfulness. And that's why it's so important to understand Jesus' ongoing ministry from heaven as our high priest. He continues to believe for us, pray for us, empower us, pick us up when we fall, restore us when we fail. What we're called to do is to trust that. You know, instead of looking at our failures, instead of looking down, Hebrews invites us to look up. Look up with eyes to heaven, with hands lifted to heaven. And place ourselves then in the company of others. And this was what I just read in verses 24 and 25. Place ourselves in the company of others who seek also to look to Jesus, to hold fast to him. Not forsaking the fellowship of others who are struggling to hold on like we are, to be responsive to the faith of Jesus. And so the point is this. We need him. We need Jesus, and we need each other. So don't turn away from either. Hang in there, because the best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.